When we left off, the year was 2013, and at the young age of 31, Carl was tapped for the position of executive chef at Cafe Adelaide. Just 2 years later, his life was turned upside down. While undergoing a procedure to diagnose what was thought to be an ulcer, his doctor discovered a tumor in the junction of his stomach and esophagus. It turned out to be cancerous.
So I was diagnosed in 2014 with advanced esophageal and gastric cancer. I was diagnosed on April 1st, April Fool's Day. My brother said to me, he's like, you know, and this is after it was okay, you know, we were able to talk about it a little bit more candidly, but he said, I was either the most sad I've ever been in my life, or I thought you were the biggest jerk and horrible April Fool's joke you could ever play on somebody. But unfortunately, it was true.
What an ironically, incredibly terrible thing for a chef.
Yes, yes. So we actually, it's funny because we, a bunch of friends and some colleagues and just amazing people, it's hard to even talk about it, but they threw a benefit and we thought it would, I guess they came up with the term kicking cancer in the gut.
Cancer in anybody's life, it affects you in different ways. But for a chef who works 60 to 70 hours a week, how did it affect your life?
Well, it's in every aspect, really, you know. So the first way it affects you is mentally, and that's the biggest way it affects you. And that's anybody with cancer that's dealt with cancer, and they'll tell you. I mean, I'd say the easy part is the physical part of it. You know, the hard part is the mental, because the mental then affects every other thing you're dealing with. So mine being basically what they did for me was an esophagectomy and a partial gastrectomy. These are medical terms, but essentially they removed about a quarter to a half of my stomach. So I got this like little baby stomach. So again, for a chef who's used to being able to dine and eat, and of course, you know, the way I did everything had to change. So the way I looked at food, the way I looked at calories, the way I looked at diet, the way I looked at nutrition, energy levels, you know, medication, all that had to change. You know, I had a 17-hour surgery that took about 6 months to recover from. So, you know, you have to completely just alter, you know, kind of everything you do. And there was a time where I was doing radiation as well. So even like drinking water hurt, you know. But I still wanted to work, of course. And, you know, I still had to taste and you had to develop dishes and menus and things like that.
What did you observe in yourself, the way you learned to compensate for perhaps not being able to taste in the same way?
Well, you have to mentor even more strongly. You have to trust your people that you've hired and trained and worked with even more. You have to write things down and look at food and creation of dishes in a more, I don't know, analytical approach than just kind of off the cuff and trial by error, so to speak. And, you know, I mean, I still to this day, I have to get people to help me taste a lot because of all the chemotherapy I've done. Some of the side effects of that chemotherapy has been, you know, definitely a difference in tastes and things like that without getting too graphic. So you just have to rely on the people and you take on a different role.
So you were at Adelaide and you get this diagnosis and you went through that difficult initial period of time. What in God's name made you think that it was a good time to open up a new restaurant?
Well, two, actually.
How close were those two restaurants?
They were closer than I'd probably do over again in terms of ability, but I don't definitely regret anything I've done. It was definitely a one life to live, you know, kind of this is the dream, this is the ultimate goal, what if I don't make it, what can I leave to my children kind of thing, you know? I loved my time at Cafe Adelaide. I loved my time with the Brands family. But, you know, the kind of one thing about the older families in the city, you know, they've got enough of their own things going on. So while they did take immense care of me in so many ways other than just financial, but I wanted to, you know, I wanted to make sure that it was always my dream to have my own restaurant, open my own. And a great friend and colleague of mine, his name is Jean-Pierre Guidry, he approached me with a possible investor who's now become one of my great friends and partners, Jacob Nockhan. And then we three of us opened Baco Bar together on the North Shore. And that was kind of a, hey, look, let's step out of our box comfort zone. Let's do something fun. Let's do something just kind of hip and kind of, you know, for the North Shore that we see to fit. So February 2016, we opened. But that whole time, we were conceiving and conceptualizing DTV as well. And I was in remission at the time. So I had had my surgery and follow-up chemo and all that. So that was about a nine-month ordeal. Then I was back at Adelaide for another few months. And then that's when the opportunity kind of came my way. And to be honest with you, it kind of presented itself to me, and I couldn't really pass it up. And we knew we wanted to make a splash and make a difference. And I always, Oak Street was always one of my favorite streets. And they redid this beautiful building, the old Woolworth building. And we had our eye on a few spots around town. And that was one of those typical New Orleans situations where I knew the landlord through this person, and we worked out a deal because of this, and that happened, and this, and everything just kind of fell into place the way that we hoped it would. And it was kind of one of those, this is too good to pass up. But unfortunately, after about a year and a half of being in remission, it came back. Cancer came back. So we got that news about a year and a half ago now. And I was right in the middle of opening the second restaurant when we got word of that.
What was that like, Carl? It's like, oh my goodness, we fought this battle.
Yeah.
And now here we are, and we've got two restaurants, and we've got two kids, and holy moly.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Well, we did what any logical person would do. We took out a big loan and we opened a Pilates studio for my wife and renovated our house because that made a lot of sense. to be honest with you, we did what things we knew we wanted to do, not knowing how much longer I had left. I have left still. We kind of said, let's build ourselves for the future, and let's. I hate this term, but, you know, live like we're dying, so to speak, and not hold back anything. We're going to build this restaurant. It's going to be one of the best in the city, hopefully in the country, and not because of awards or accolades or anything like that, but because we truly want – I want the people of New Orleans to love coming to this restaurant. I want them to have an incredible time every time they come. I want them to, you know, just have a envie, so to speak, for entering our front doors. So I was able to focus then on kind of saying, look, you know, my partner took over kind of the reins at Baco Bar up on the North Shore, and I focused more on opening DTB, and that allowed me to focus more on all the medical stuff that I had to start doing, because obviously I've been going through chemotherapy and this thing and that thing, and some things work and some things don't, and I'm flying back and forth to MD Anderson and Houston, things like that. So, you know, every week's different, every day is different. You wake up kind of feeling, you know, good or bad or whatever it is. But the one thing you can control is mentally how you feel and mentally how you approach things. And I've said that all along, and people are always like, you always seem like nothing's wrong. You always seem like, you know, you look okay and this and that. And I said, well, that's what, yeah. I mean, you know, it's like when you ask somebody, how's their day going? And they say, you know, it's not really what I want to hear. You know, at least lie right to me. At least say, it's going great, you know. Could be a lot worse, whatever it is. So I think that's the way I approach it when people ask me, you know, how are you doing? How are things going? And, you know, the other thing I tell people, you know, and this applies to people facing terminal illness or just business or just raising children or just walking down the street, but, you know, say, how can you be so positive? Like, what is the alternative?
Right.
You know, I don't know any other way to live. I don't know any other way to run a restaurant, to be a husband, to be a father, to be, you know, of course, are we like that all the time? No, but to be positive more often than not is, for me, just the way to do things.
One of the things that you have done that I greatly admire, you would think that anybody with everything we've just heard on your plate that you've got might not have the time to volunteer and give it away. And yet, every time I turn around, if it comes to health, wellness, you know, fighting illness with your diet, you're right there on the forefront.
Well, so, you know, I mean, it's just about, again, just continuing to live your life the way you would live it no matter what, you know. So I said, you know, when I got re-diagnosed and I knew I'd be on these intense drugs and traveling and not sure how I would feel every day, I said, one thing I know I can do is I can do the PR stuff. I can do the philanthropies. I can do the wonderful, you know, cooking demos for the Southern Food and Beverage Museum. You know, whatever it is, those are things that I can do. So if my days of throwing on the chef coat and working behind the line for 14 hours and hooting and hollering are over, well, then there's other things that I can do to not only promote our restaurant, but the culinary scene of New Orleans and the greater good of our city and the greater good of chefs in general. And that's what I'm going to continue to do, you know. And recently we've gotten some, you know, a little bit worse news that you know, it's looking like our options are becoming more limited. But doesn't mean we're going to stop fighting. It doesn't mean we're going to stop, you know, continuing to push and continuing to do as much as we can. And my wife looked at me the other day and she said, well, what are you going to do with the restaurants? And I was just like, well, I don't really know what else I can do if I'm not writing down dishes or creating, you know, spreadsheets for costing or mentoring cooks. I'm like, not really sure what else there is for me out there. It's not like this life changer. I'm going to go become a actor or something, you know, at this point. So, you know, the answer is just continuing to do what we love and whatever form that comes to us.